Welcome to the weekly podcast from Ashford Baptist, an active evangelical community church of all ages and many nationalities based in the centre of Ashford, Kent in the UK. We hope you enjoy the message.
Our Bible reading this morning is taken from Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 10 to 20. I'm reading from the New International Version. Ephesians 6, verse 10. The armor of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. May God bless the reading of his word.
Amen. Lord God, we thank you for the truth that is found in your word. And we thank you for this opportunity to unpack it together and to look at how you might be speaking to us through it. Lord, would you open our hearts and our minds and our ears to receive from you? Lord, help me to bring the words that you have laid on my heart in a way that will reach and touch people's lives this morning. Lord, may it be you speaking to our hearts today. Amen. Simon, could I have my PowerPoint on? Thank you. So for the observant of you, over the last few weeks, as I know you all take lots of attention of the ad roll at the beginning of the service and at the end of the service, because it has lots of fun things on there, lots of information. You will have seen this. I never know whether to point there or there, actually, so I kind of go do this. You'll have seen this picture appear, beautifully put together by my husband. Well done, Michael. Thank you. You've been seeing that we're starting a series soon on the armor of God. Well, today is the day. Woo! We are starting our series on the armor of God. And thank you, Martin, for leading us in such a wonderful way, looking at that in our prayers together. So yeah, we're starting this new series on the armor of God. And over the coming weeks, we're going to become very familiar with the passage that Bemi just read to us from Ephesians chapter 6. And this morning, we are going to look at the first of those pieces of armor. We're going to be looking at the belt of truth together. But first of all, I wanted to kind of do a bit of an overview, a bit of an introduction to the whole thing, the whole concept of the armour of God, and why Paul might have used this allegory, this, that's a posh word, isn't it? This picture. So why do we need armour? It's not armour like this beautiful piece of armour in this picture, like a knight going into battle. Why do we need armour? Wearing armour assumes that we are in some kind of battle or fight. It assumes that we need protection. I'm sure you've realised that being a Christian is not always easy. I'm sure you've realised, if you've been a Christian for any length of time, that sometimes it can be a bit of a battle. I'm sure if you've been a Christian for any length of time, you will have your own personal stories and testimonies about the battles that you've faced as a Christian and about how God has worked in those situations, how God has intervened, answered your prayers, how he's turned up on time, how he's challenged you and helped you to grow in your faith as a result. And I think it's good to share those stories and testimonies. When we go through those times of battle and difficulty, they're not necessarily for us to keep to ourselves. I think there's always a reason why those kind of things happen. And sometimes then God brings other people into our lives and we can share our experience as an encouragement to each other, to help someone else who's going through a similar experience. In verse 11, Paul says this. He says, put on the full armour of God so that you full armour of God and against the devil's schemes. Put on the full armour of God so that you can stand against the devil's schemes. Now, there are two things I want to point out in this verse. First of all, Paul tells us to put on the full armour of God. We need to put it all on. Now, there are seven pieces of armour. So we're going to be, that tells you how long this series is going to be. 7 weeks. Not necessarily back to back, but seven times we're going to be visiting this theme. We need to put it all on. Nicky Gumbel, who some of you will know, the guy that developed the Alpha course. He does this thing called the Bible in 1 year. And in his commentary on this passage, he calls the army, he says there are seven habits, seven pieces or seven life-changing habits. I quite like that way of looking at it. Seven life-changing habits. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God, and prayer. Seven life-changing habits that we are to put on. In order to be fully protected, we need to implement them all in our lives. Back during the COVID pandemic, we became quite familiar with these kind of photos and pictures on our news. I know we have NHS staff amongst us, you probably had to wear stuff like this every day in order to go into work. As they went in to fight a battle against an unseen enemy, they had to put on protective clothing to ensure their safety. And it wouldn't have been much use if on one day a nurse or a doctor has gone, well, do you know what? I really hate wearing that mask. It makes it difficult to breathe. I can't understand what my colleagues are saying. They can't understand what I'm saying. It's leaving really horrible marks on my face. I'm just not going to bother putting it on today because I don't want to. Or I don't like wearing these gloves because it makes it difficult to pick up things and they make my hands all hot and sweaty. I'm just not going to bother putting them on today. By not putting on one piece of this protective clothing, it kind of negated the whole lot. They weren't fully protected if they didn't wear it all. And the armour of God is the same. We need to put it all on. And so at the beginning of this series, I want to challenge you to fully engage with it all. Don't miss a piece out. And obviously the best way you can do that is by being here every week. But I know that's not possible always. But I still put that challenge out to you to make it a priority to be here every week to engage with us fully. But if you're not able to be here, then find it on the podcast. Okay? Did you know we have a podcast where you can go back and you can listen to sermons that either you've missed for some reason or because you heard them, you thought there was a lot in that, I want to go back and listen to it again. And if you're not sure how to find that, then if you're not someone who does podcasts, come and talk to me afterwards. Come and talk to Mike, who's going to hate me for saying that, but sorry. And we'll show you how you can find a podcast on your phone. But engage with this fully. Chat to each other. Talk about it. Discuss with each other. Ask each other, how are you doing? What did you think of that? How are you doing with that piece of the armor? Fully engage in order to put it all on. And then Paul says, not only are we to put it all on, we are to stand. We're to stand. In fact, Paul says this 4 times. And he didn't mean just kind of stand like you're waiting for a bus at a bus stop. He meant to stand like you're fully engaged, like ready and waiting, prepared for something. You know, lots of you know that I work in a preschool. And sometimes when a young child runs at you enthusiastically for a hug, if you're just standing there like this, they will knock you flying. You kind of have to stand, feet, you know, firmly on the floor, core engaged, while this 3-year-old bowling ball throws themselves at you so that you can, you know, not fall over. That's what Paul means by standing, standing ready. In verse 11, he says, take your stand against the devil's schemes. In verse 13, he says, stand your ground. And then he says, stand. And in verse 14, he says, stand firm. 4 times he uses this word. And so it must be important. It must be an important thing that he's wanting us to realize and to get on board with. We are to stand firm to defend the ground that Jesus has already won. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talked about us being light and salt. What did he mean by that? He was talking about us being salt. Salt was used in those days to preserve, as a preservative. We use it now to bring flavour, don't we? Salted caramel ice cream, my favourite. Yeah, it's good, isn't it? But in those days, it was used as the preservative. So to be salt means that we're preserving the standards, the way of life, the way of being that Jesus teaches. In that whole Sermon on the Mount, he talks about a whole load of stuff, about loving your enemies, about not being angry, about being honest, about your yes being yes and your no being no, all sorts of stuff. And as a Christian, being salt, we're called to live in that way and to show that way, to preserve the ways of the kingdom. And to be light, to bring light into dark places, to bring the hope and the joy and the peace that Jesus brings to a hurting world, to show people that there is a different way. There is a different way to do life. So we're called to stand. But we need to remember that we're not standing in our own strength. Verse 10 says this, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. That word finally can be translated not just, you know, sometimes we read that and think, oh, that's just Paul going, and one last thing, I'm coming to the end now, don't worry, it will soon be over. Actually, what he could have been meaning was from now on, for the rest of your days, for the rest of your life, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. The Amplified version of the Bible puts it like this. In conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Draw your strength from him and be empowered through your union with him and in the power of his boundless might. So you could read this verse like this. From now on, for the rest of your days, draw your strength from God and be empowered through your union with him. That is where we find the strength to stand. Relying on the power of God to stand doesn't mean that we should be passive or inactive. It's not like, okay, God's going to do it all. I don't have to do anything. It doesn't mean that we're inactive or passive about it. We need to take responsibility for our lives. We need to take responsibility for our discipleship. We need to take responsibility for our journey to spiritual maturity as we draw our strength from him. So I wonder, how are you daily drawing strength from God? How are you daily drawing strength from God? In every situation, in every circumstance that you find yourself in, how do you draw strength from God? What spiritual practices have you put in place to enable you to do this? Sometimes we need to do these things when life is good, so that when the day of trouble comes, they're there, almost like muscle memory, that we turn to God and find our strength in him. John Stott, who was a famous theologian, Christian writer, he wrote this in his commentary on Ephesians. He put it this way. He said, this fourfold emphasis on the need to stand or withstand shows the need for Christian stability. Wobbly Christians who have no firm foothold in Christ are an easy prey for the devil. Paul wants to see Christians who are so strong and stable that they remain firm even when the devil's schemes and when the day of evil comes. That is, in a time of special pressure. For such stability, both character and in crisis, the armour of God is essential. This is essential for us to stand firm and to be strong in our walk with God. So who is this battle against? Well, in verse 12, Paul says this. He gives us the answer. He says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against people. Our struggle is against the rulers, the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So our battle is not with each other. Our battle is not with people. Our battle is with the spiritual forces. That's heavy stuff, isn't it? It's not something that we often talk about, spiritual warfare. There's a guy whose name I always struggle in the pronunciation, so I apologise to him now. He's an Italian Catholic priest and theologian. See, I struggled over that word as well. His name is Raniero Cantamalesa. I think that's how you pronounce it. It's a good name, isn't it? He says this. He says, our battle is against the triple threat, the world, the flesh, and the devil, the enemy around us, the enemy within us, and the enemy above us. That's a lot. That is a lot. That could make me quite fearful, actually. That can make me want to give up and go home. Throughout his letter to Ephesians, this passage on the armour of God comes at the end, doesn't it, of a letter that Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus. It was a church that Paul knew well. He spent a lot of time there. You can read about that in Acts. If you want to put that into context, go and find what Paul wrote about in Acts, about his visit to Ephesus. Lots of amazing things happened when he was there. He was there for a long time, over a year. He knew this church well. He really loved them. And as he wrote this letter to them, he writes about some big themes about what a community of believers should look like. So what the church should look like in Ephesus, but also what the church should look like here in Ashford, because we're a community of believers, aren't we? So he said that as a community of believers, we should be united in fellowship with each other. That's one of the things that a community of believers should be. They should be in unity. They should be united in fellowship with each other. They should celebrate the diversity of their gifts and ministries. So on the one hand, we're united, we're one. Although we come from lots of different backgrounds and places and experiences. But on the other hand, we need to celebrate that diversity and celebrate the different gifts and ministries that people have and allow those gifts and ministries to grow and develop and be used. We should be living pure and holy lives. And Paul talked about bringing harmony into relationships in the home and at work. These are the themes that if you read the whole of Ephesians, these are the themes that Paul talks about and the things that were important in a community of Christian believers. This is what a Christian community should look like. This is what we as a church should look like. But against all of this, a battle is waging, because the devil doesn't like it when we're united with each other, when we're having really good fellowship with each other. The devil doesn't like it when we encourage each other in our gifts and our ministries. The devil doesn't like it when we're living a pure and holy life, when we're dealing with sin in our lives, when we're growing in our faith and becoming more and more like Jesus. And the devil doesn't like it when we bring that harmony into our other relationships at home and at work and all the other places we go. The devil really doesn't like that. He wants to destroy that. He wants to bring division and discord and sin. And we must be aware of that. It's not something we talk about often, but it is something that we need to be aware of. We need to be aware of his schemes. That word schemes that Paul uses can be translated as trickery or deceit. We need to be aware of his deceit and his trickery. But we must not live in fear. We need to be aware of it. We need to watch out for it. But we must not live in fear. Jesus said, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and have it to the full." That's what Jesus promises. This is what the devil wants, to steal and kill and destroy. But I have come that you can have life and have it to the full. Jesus' death and resurrection means that he's won the ultimate victory over sin and death. But until he comes again, we will experience a struggle against sin. During the Last Supper, just before he was arrested, Jesus said this to his disciples. He said, "In this world, you will have trouble." Not "you might have." "But you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world." And so finding our strength in the Lord and putting on the armor of God is essential if we want to grow and thrive in our faith and our discipleship. I want you to remind you, though, that soldiers don't stand on their own. Soldiers stand in armies. When you see those pictures of like the Roman army with their big shields, they stand in big long lines, don't they? And in kind of like almost like squares, they have their shields will be out in front and the sides and above to protect each other, to work together. They never stood on their own. They come in armies. So surrounding yourself with a community of believers is essential. Don't try and stand on your own. Stand with your brothers and sisters in Christ. How do we do that? Coming regularly to church on a Sunday, obviously, is really important to come and get to know your community. Be part of that. But added to that, I found that having a smaller group that I meet with regularly to share God's word, to pray, to talk about the highs and lows of life, to be accountable to talk about all the stuff that's going on. People that have got to know me really well over the last few years and who I can be really open and honest with. I found that essential. I found that so impactful on my life, on my walk, and such an encouragement and a real help. And I would really encourage that. If you don't already belong to one of those small groups, then you're missing out, to be honest. And I would love it if, as a church, we had to start new life groups, different times, different days, would suit people's lifestyle patterns and when they work and all that kind of stuff. But it's really important to be part of that small group of having people around you who can really speak into your life and walk with you. And so we come to the belt of truth. Just a few thoughts on the belt of truth. This is the first piece of armor, and it kind of holds all the others together. Belts are really important, aren't they? At university, I trained to be an occupational therapist. And when I had my first job down in Hastings, I was working on a care of the elderly ward and a bit of stroke rehab and head injury rehab. And when I arrived, I had to go and get measured for my uniform. For those who don't know, an occupational therapist uniform looks very similar to a physio, but we wear bottle green. So bottle green trousers and a white tunic. And I don't know what was going on with the woman that measured me for my uniform. I don't know what was wrong with her tape measure, but when I got the uniform, it was too big, like way too big. And like the trousers, I didn't have to undo them. They just went on and off too easily. And they didn't have a belt loop. And so until I was able to get it sorted out, for a couple of weeks, I was walking gingerly around the hospital with a slight frisson of anxiety that any minute now, something was going to happen. And as part of my job, I worked on a stroke unit, and I would have to help transfer patients from their bed to a wheelchair or back again. And in order to do that, you kind of like bend your knees, and you'd have to get up close and personal, knees to knees, get their arms around you, arms around them, you know, personal space out the window. And you'd kind of rock gently until you got them to standing, and then you do this, and then they'd sit down. I never dropped one, never, not once. But there was a look of alarm sometimes on someone's face when this little 22-year-old girl came up and said, "I'm just going to get you from your bed into the wheelchair." And they'd look and go, "Really?" And as they were a bit anxious and they would kind of grab for me, I'd go, "Please not the trousers." So belts are really important for keeping things in place. They're really important. The belt of truth, truth keeps things in place. We need to be people of truth, people of integrity and honesty. People who look like Jesus. That is a tall order, isn't it? That is a challenge. People who look like Jesus. Truth is so important. Without truth, there is no trust. Without truth, we don't know how to make decisions properly. Without truth, we don't know what we can rely on. Truth is really important. In Matthew 7, as part of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus was talking about false prophets. And he was telling his people to be aware of false prophets who were going to come. And they were going to speak words that sounded really good and really comforting and, you know, like, "Oh yeah, that's interesting. Oh, I quite like the sound of that." But actually, there were wolves in sheep's clothing. And Jesus said, you really need to be on your guard against these people. And how do you know who they are? You know by the fruit that their lies produce. You know by the fruit their lies produce. Where do we get our truth from? What is the fruit that's being produced by the places that we get our truth from? What is the fruit that my life is producing? Am I a person of honesty and integrity? What fruit does my life produce? Is it the fruit of the Spirit? Remember a while ago we did that series on the fruit of the Spirit? Does my life produce love and joy and peace, patience and kindness and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control? That's the fruit I need to be looking for. We need to stand against the devil's lies and his deceit and his trickery. Where do we look for truth today? What is influencing us most? Is it social media and the echo chamber that that can become? Is it our news outlets? Is it our politicians? Is it our friends and the people that we are regularly coming into contact? Or is it the Word of God and the truth that the Word of God contains? A couple of weeks ago, Stephen Cave was here and he preached a whole sermon on truth. And so I would recommend that you go back to the podcast and you listen to that sermon again. Even if you were here, go back and listen to it again about what truth is and about how important it is and about where we should look for truth. How do we know what truth is? We find truth in Jesus. Jesus who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Everything else that we get told, we need to align it with Jesus. We need to align it with the Word of God. We need to align it with the fruit that it's producing. Even if it sounds good, if it sounds right, we need to align it with, is this of Jesus? Is this what Jesus would do? Is this what Jesus would say? When Jesus was tempted by the devil, he responded with scripture. And if that's how Jesus did it, then maybe that's how we should be doing it as well. Because the other thing about truth is we should be people of truth and integrity, be careful about where we find our truth, what we believe to be true, all that kind of stuff. But also we need to know the truth about ourselves, about who God says we are, okay? Because often the devil will come at us and say, no, you're not good enough. You're not strong enough. You could never do that. Okay, God doesn't really love. Do you really think that God forgives sin? We couldn't forgive that one. We need to know what the Word of God says about us in order to have something that we can come back at the devil with when we hear those lies. Just 5 promises from the Word of God. There are so many more. God says he will sustain you in Psalm 55:22. He says that his peace will guard your heart in Philippians 4:6-7. He says that he delights over you with singing, Zephaniah 3:17. He says that he will never leave you or forsake you in Deuteronomy 31. Tom Wright, in his commentary on Ephesians, says this: our task, empowered by the Spirit, is to tie that truth around us to hold everything in place. The gospel is not about our feelings or our imagination or our sense of what people will or won't like. It's about truth, about the reality of God's good creation and his purposes unveiled in Jesus. And truth remains God's, not ours. Psalm 1 talks about a person who puts their roots down deep into the Word of God. And it says that that kind of person flourishes because they have a constant source of water. I want to be that kind of person who puts my roots down deep into the truth of God and therefore flourishes because that is what I'm basing my life on. May we put the belt of truth on and stand firm on the truth of who God is and who we are in him, so that we can find our strength in God and stand firm together. Amen. as we go from this place. I just want to pray this prayer of blessing that comes from Ephesians, but earlier in this book. And Paul writes this. He says, I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide and long and high and deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. And then you will be made complete with all the fullness of love, life, and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, now and forever. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this. To make sure you hear more messages like these, please subscribe so you don't miss out. To find out more about Ashford Baptist, visit our website, ashfordbaptist.org.uk, or follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Ashford Baptist.